The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The world, it doesn't seem much. Ask me by the moon, dear. I'll reach out to touch anything for you.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. It means you're alive another week. You live through another long week in the United States of America. By the Dubs. Don't ask me to be lonely by the Dubs, and I'm not asking you to be lonely. You can join the Savage Nation by calling 1-800-449-8255, and you'll never be lonely again. Now let's go to G by the Crows on Rock and Roll Friday while the Crackers and Crackettes are getting ready to dial a show. We'll go to G by the Crows. There are no Crackettes out there who like this song.
Love that girl.
Come on, wake up and what's wrong with you people out there? You don't like this music anymore? Stop playing it. I'm not giving them all rock and roll. They don't like it. They're not getting it. I'll give them Guy Lombardo if that's what they want. I'll give them the rickety Guy Lombardo music that they listen to in the elevator. I'm trying here to wake you up. Play Maybe Baby by Buddy Holly. Maybe that'll get the country and western swing
maybe,
over crowd.
Baby, I'll have you. Maybe, baby, you'll be true.
There maybe, you go. The light just went on. I thought the electric went out. I thought the electric went out in San Francisco here.
You don't care.
Now I'm happy. My lights are all on. 20 red lights means I'm happy.
Maybe, baby, you will love me someday.
I loved the sound of Buddy Holly when I was a kid. You know, like as a New York City boy, this was so different. Play it a little louder, though. Give it some twang.
Makes me sad up when someday you want me. Well, I'll be there. Wait and see.
Through geometry, this particular song. Welcome to the Savage Nation. It is Rock and Roll Friday. They can't hear me over the music. It confuses people over 12. They can't multi-hear. People over 12 cannot multi-hear, you know. They can hear one thing or another. You can't give them two or three tracks at once. Then they're liable to descend into liberalism where they know nothing. There's good news for me, maybe not good for you if you're a red diaper dopa baby, but I'm number one in Portland, Oregon on KXL. I broke records. Spring Arbitron 2007, number one in the market with an 8.1 share, a 9.1 rating for people 35 to 64. Now, you may say, well, what's the big deal? It's only Portland. Let me tell you why it's a big deal. Portland is an extremely left-wing city. It was hijacked by a group of lesbian feminists who took it over a long time ago. They have some of the most extremist anti-American politics in the United States of America. And yet in this once proud American city hijacked by illegitimates from San Francisco and everywhere else who hijacked the city government, hijacked the halls of the state legislature, hijacked all of the television stations, most of the radio stations. Here I come, Michael Savage, and I'm doing great in Portland, Oregon. What does that tell you? It tells you why they want to pass the so-called fairness doctrine, because they can't stand anybody speaking their mind. They want to control everything. They want to turn this into Venezuela where, you know, Sean Penn should be arrested for sedition. In my day, this guy would have his passport seized on his return from the enemy. I can't believe this. Now, if he was a poor guy, Sean Penn, living in a hovel somewhere, I would say, all right, he's poor, he's a socialist. He likes a guy who hates America and hates Jews. I can see it. I wouldn't agree with him, but I can understand where he would get his anti-Semitism from. and is, you know, if he was a poor, unwashed cracker living in a trailer. But here's a guy who lives in a mansion, Hollywood star, wins Academy Awards. He cavorts with a man who hates Jews, hates America, hates our way of life, hates capitalism, hates the family. I can't believe it. How can you go to any movie that this cretin is in? If I were his children, I would divorce him. I would change my name to anything but Penn. He has sullied the name of Penn, but then he's just like his father, another red communist from hell. These people are sick in the head, these people. It's the drugs. It's the Hollywood thing. It's hanging around with idiots at the Creative Arts Agency, in my opinion. It's from driving Priuses. There must be gas leaking in the car from driving a Prius. There must be a fume come up from the muffler. Which song do I want to play? Do you have Eddie, My Love? That's the one I really loved in those days. You don't have it yet. All right, so play anything. You got another Buddy Holly? No other Buddy? No, kill that one. Break that. Smash that record over your knee. Any other Buddy Holly? That wasn't Buddy Holly. That was something else. Come on, it's Rock and Roll Friday. Don't leave me here in the lurch. Again? All right, the Chantels. It's very good, this one. It's got a hysteria to it that's good. She's like on the verge of releasing herself through song. There's a hysterical tone to this song that cuts through the fog. Remember driving around like in a 59 Pontiac listening to this on Union Turnpike? Unbelievable. It was so cold out that the plastic seats in your father's car were so cold when you parked in Alley Pond Park, like, you know, make out, we call it make out in those days, because you couldn't do it in the house. You froze on the seats because if you put the heater on, they found you dead in the morning in the park. So you knew not to run the engine with the heater on. So you were stuck with a cold plastic. God, times have changed, I'll tell you. Now the parents tell them to do it right in their own bed with a video camera on so they can watch it when they come home. What a country, what the liberals did to this country. Certain things were better off when they were hidden and buried and in the closet, let me tell you. Not everything needs to be out of the closet, thank you. Put it back in the closet, we'll be a lot happier. This was all in the closet? All these millions of psychotics? Turn that off. I don't like that song. Isn't there something else energetic, masculine? Something a little more masculine, profound, muscular, testosterone-laden. Is there not rock and roll with some... You got no heavy-duty testosterone, black rhythm, something from that era? Nothing? Okay, then Italian. You can't find the black. Go to the next level, the Italian. If not Jewish. You can't get Jewish, do an Armenian rock and roll song. Wasn't there an Armenian rock and roll player? There was an Armenian rock and roller. Frankie, what was his name? Who was the Armenian who had a big hit? No, I'm thinking of Danny Thomas. He was a comedian. Ah, come on. No, kill that. That's for the old age home elevator on the way up for the proctectomy. That's what they play in the elevator in West Palm Beach. On the way down to the colostomy, the colorectomy. They have a procedure for everything now to make money. But the guys who cut off the guys who cut off the prostate now are not too happy. The urologist. They come up with a new test now that two-thirds of the cutting is going to be unnecessary. No, not that's amore. Come on. Rock and roll, doo-wop, you know, do. They're the heavy duty. All right, if we go back to At the Hop, I'm leaving for the day. I'm out of here. Boom, boom, boom. Here it is, At the Hop. It doesn't do anything. I want to ask you, if you live in Portland, a question or two. How do you feel knowing I'm number one in radio in a city that's been blighted by the perverts from San Francisco who took it over? 1-800-449-8255. How do you feel in Portland, Oregon, knowing that you have a voice to turn to? Now, you know, Portland is symptomatic of many cities in America which were once center-right, meaning patriotic American towns, invaded because of the at the time, relatively, and I say relatively, inexpensive housing and nice people who let them come in. They came in and they took over the city government, and then they put the people in handcuffs. Now, here's another story. Bush welcomes right-wing talkers to the West Wing. I'm proud to tell you that I'm not a right-winger because I wasn't invited. I guess that makes me something other than a right-winger. I certainly couldn't be a left-winger. But for the second year in a row, President Bush called some of his closest radio friends to the White House for an off-the-record briefing, and discussion included were unknown talk show hosts who met with Bush in the West Wing. Now, why was Savage not invited to the Blight House by Bush Cheney? Only sycophants. Even Republican congressmen refuse to be photographed with Bush right now. Are these sycophant radio hacks tone deaf to their own audience? It's astounding to me that they would even go. But why do you think Michael Savage was not invited to the Blight House by Bush and Cheney? You know, 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. Here are the headlines on MichaelSavage.com. SWAT team swarm Oakland Muslim bakery. Big story out here. There was the shooting of a black reporter who was covering the black Muslim bakery. And they are not saying that the arrests today in Oakland were related to the murder of the reporter. But if you can put two and two together, you come up with four. On the right side, Lucky Dog, Teddy's cousin Cash with the rock star girls. Savage tops in Portland on KXL. Now, here's a heartbreaking story. Rape and murder might have been avoided in Connecticut. Remember that horrible story from last week, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, where the mother, the daughters were raped. The mother was set on fire with the daughters. Remember? Here's the story. You're gonna get sick to your heart. Rape. Here's my headline. Take it for what it is. It's how I read this story. Rape and murder might have been avoided in Connecticut. Police were outside for at least 20 minutes without breaking in. Gave criminals time to set girls on fire and run. Now, I know many police are going to say they would have been damned if they did break in and damned if they didn't break in. I agree with you. The lawyers have crippled the United States of America. Those rat bums with law degrees are the ones that have killed everybody. They put handcuffs around everyone. If the cops had broken into the house before they set the house on fire and killed the girls, and God forbid one of the girls had been killed, the police would have been sued. I would say that unless we get control of the lawyers in this country, we are finished as a nation. We cannot take action against the Muslims over there. We cannot take action against the Muslims over here who might want to harm us without hearing screaming from every NYU cockamamie psycho. We can't take action without hearing from every cockamamie pervert from Columbia Law, NYU Law, Bolt Law, Harvard Law. I'll tell you what has to be done. We need a revolution in the country where the lawyers are reined in, all of them. We need to pass a law which says we're going to take the law in our own hands if you keep this up. We'll hunt you down. How's that? You like that? We'll post your name and your home address for everybody to see because you're killing us all. You rats, you morons, you psychos. You're a disgrace. I'll be back.
Savage.
Eddie, my love, I love you so.
To Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. When the chrome was thick and the women were straight, this is the music coming out of radio speakers across America. When Detroit could still build a car. Before the vanquished in World War II flooded this country with cheap goods and took over the television industry and now the auto industry. The song Eddie My Love is being sung or was sung by the Teen Queens. Of course, today they couldn't get away with calling themselves that because of the ambiguity of their name. Does anyone remember? Oh, don't call me with your memories. What do I care? Where do you think they are to the Teen Queens? Probably Florida, like Gainesville, I would imagine, in a nursing home with a transfusion tree or a walker on the boardwalk somewhere, walking around with the skin like a lizard. It's a long time ago, you know. Would you want to live like 200 years, 300 years, what's coming to this country? Would you? Your father, your grandfather, let's say, who stormed the beaches of Normandy. And if he could wake up today, what if the men could wake up from their graves in Normandy and take a look at what they died for? Huh? like a nice, let's say, an S&M parade going down Fifth Avenue instead of the St. Patrick's Day parade. That's what they died. That's what they fought the Nazis for, to liberate America for that. Let's say, or a nice mayor from Portland, or a nice mayor from one of the other liberal cities, cavorting with the enemy, encouraging Al-Qaeda, defending the enemy within. Maybe that's what they died for as they climbed the cliffs, the limestone cliffs of England. That's why they died. That's why all the Eddies of America died, so the people who are now running things could run things. So a man named Jack Murtha, a former Marine who called our troops Nazis, could take in $150 million in pork barrel spending to his district and not be investigated for this. You hear this? So that the Democrats last night could pull a procedure on the Republicans that hasn't been used since like 1808, and to override the votes of most people in order to give health care to illegal alien children. That's what they died storming the beaches of Norway. This Democrat Party is a party of criminals. Despite my problems with the check pants Republicans, the Democrats, by and large, are a party of gangs and criminals. That's all they are. WOR in New York. Tony, you're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, can I ask you a question? Being a straight guy, just like you, what do you have against these lesbian women? It just seems like you're a homophobe.
So I'll make a confession right now on the show. I was molested by a lesbian when I was 17. Is that what you want to hear?
No, I want to know, really, what do you have?
I was molested by a lesbian at 17. I thought it was normal sex, and she told me afterwards that she was a lesbian and she was doing it out of spite. That's what you want to hear, right?
No, I want to hear the honest truth. What's the matter? You don't know the honest truth, or do you run around with a sheet over your head? Should we bring back slavery, too?
So what? You just made your point. Now what? You're calling me a member of the Ku Klux Klan because I don't like lesbians?
Lesbians. That's what I want to know. Can you answer the question, Mr.
What's the question, Tony? What's your question?
So I rolled into one. I want to know what you have. Answer the question.
What is the question, idiot?
What do you have against lesbians? You heard it the first
time. It's not that I have anything against lesbians, but a society that is in such bad shape, where the children are so confused, do not need ambiguous lessons in their schools. That's step number one. I don't like the political lesbian homosexual movements because they are destroying the traditional family. Does that answer your
Savage
question?
Savage. I'm all over, baby. Whole lot of shaking going on. Yes, I say, come all over, baby. Baby, you can't go wrong. We ain't faking it.
Savage Nation, a whole lot of shaking going on. Bush welcomes right-wingers to the West Wing. Why was Savage not invited to the Blight House by Bush, Cheney, and only sycophants in the radio business? Now, Rush had the good sense not to go. He's the smartest of the bunch. Wallbanger, of course, being a man who sees things in two dimensions, and the others, who have no ratings whatsoever, went. Because they're tone deaf to their own audience. I'm not bitter. I wouldn't have gone. But you want to know why I didn't go? Syracuse, New York. Ken, why didn't Bush invite Savage to this right-wing convention in the White House? What do you think?
That you're holding both sides of the aisle to the feet to the fire, you know. And now they don't like it, and they're probably a little sore, you know. But
the main thing is that I spoke out against the Dubai port deal and derailed it. Through the listener, I spoke out against illegal amnesty since I began a radio in 94. I own that issue, and I'm glad others are involved with it, but I own the issue. Obviously, that was Bush's main goal in his presidency, was to legitimize 30 million illegal aliens, and that's why he joined the far left in shafting his own base. But his own base, you know, because I'm motivated by talk radio, so he can't like me. Now, we put together this piece of why George Bush only invited radio sycophants such as Wallbanger to the so-called right-wing radio convention in the White House. And I don't know why they went. Even Republican congressmen aren't going. They don't want to be pictured with them. Listen to what we found.
America asked the question, why didn't Bush invite Michael Savage to the White House? Michael Savage on the Dubai ports case.
You don't turn the keys to the kingdom over to potential enemies or, let's say, suspicious friends. Let's put it to you that way. Now, the day you start trusting those hooded-eyed fellows who have harems over there, that's the day that you ought to just throw yourself off a bridge. You take a look at these guys. I mean, they're really telling you the truth. One day they're on this side, the next day they're on that side. You know, the money was laundered for 9/11 through the UAE, but we're told today they're our best friends. Now, I want to ask a question. Why were the ports ever sold to P&O to begin with? When did foreign companies ever get the right to buy our ports? How did that come about? Let's forget the Arabs for a minute. How did the English get to buy our ports? Why were the ports sold to a foreign company to begin with? That's the bigger question that should come out in congressional hearings. You want to get real about this now? Let's get real about this now.
Michael Savage on the amnesty bill.
All I can tell you is that when the far, far, far extremist left and President Bush agree on something, you know who's getting screwed is the American people. Well, they all agreed that we should import and grant amnesty to felons from Mexico, China, Russia, wherever, and give them a Eurail pass, or shall I say a North American rail pass, directly to go. In fact, a citizenship, no matter what their crime was. And finally, the outrage reached such a point that the Republicans finally did what they weren't doing, which was get up and say, we're not going to go for it. Of course, that doesn't stop the demagogues on the left from saying this is outrageous and racist. That's their standard remark, as you well know. Everything is racist to those who are trying to use race to destroy America. So we did that. Bush surprised at conservative anger. Duh. Oh, really? And Tony Snowjob gives us the story that he didn't really mean to insult you? Like hell he didn't. That was the real Bush. We can't find a copy of Tony Snowjob's speech, by the way. Immigration bill fails crucial Senate vote. No kidding. Of course it failed. We didn't want felons in our midst. We have enough of them right now. Do you know that Harry Reid, Tom McCain, John McCain, I think Tom McCann's shoes and Tom and John McCain mix me up. John McCain and Tom McCann somehow are the same in my mind. Tom McCann, the senator from Arizona, wanted to make certain that all felons remain in the United States of America and get a Eurail pass for citizenship. Can you believe this guy? How does John McCain, Tom McCann's nephew, get away with this? I'd like to know. How do they not throw him out of office in Arizona? The guy's an imposter. He took over Barry Goldwater's mantle, and what he's done is he's run it into the ground. He may as well be riding with the pink flag. Or the white flag, excuse me, so you don't mix it up.
Michael Savage on Harriet Myers.
Harriet Myers is as qualified for the Supreme Court as my dog Snowy was. It would be as though my dog Snowy, who I like very much, I turned into a Supreme Court justice simply because I liked her and trusted her. She is not qualified for the Supreme Court whatsoever.
I was the first in the media to call her a non-entity, by the way, Harriet Myers. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Play it.
It is the equivalent of an ancient Roman emperor putting a horse in the U.S. in the Roman Senate. You remember that story? When a Roman emperor had such contempt for the Roman Senate of his time that he put a horse in a Senate seat. This is a mark of contempt by George Bush. It is not a mark of respect for the Supreme Court. It is a mark of contempt for women, contempt for conservatives, and contempt for the institution of the Supreme Court. And she must be rejected. If there is to be a nation, if there is to be a Republican Party, they must soundly reject Harriet Myers and put forward a real conservative who has been doing the hard work for 15 or 20 years.
Michael Savage on Defending the Marine.
The Marine investigator in charge of persecuting our heroes has recommended dropping charges against one of the men in the alleged Haditha massacre, which never occurred, and they're dropping charges against Lance Corporal Justin Sharrett. However, the psychopathic prosecutor who's going after our guy, who I've raised money for, who I've donated money for, has refused to drop the case. We're going to have the lawyer on today. They're going ahead with a full court martial of Colonel Chassani, who was not even in Haditha. The problem now is identical to that of the Duke University players, where we had an out-of-control rogue prosecutor named Nifong, who has been disbarred and will eventually go to jail, in my opinion. Unless we focus on the rogue Marine prosecutor, we're never going to get to the truth behind this issue. Now, why would this rogue prosecutor be pursuing a case that has just been dropped against another man who was actually at the scene of the so-called crime when he knows that Colonel Chassani was not even there and there was no crime to begin with?
Michael Savage on the border agents.
Once upon a time, people had to read the newspaper to find out what was going on. Today,
talk radio is perhaps the most lively forum for what is going on. And we're talking today about a huge story that the antiquated silent movies called the newspapers refuse to cover, and that is the terrible misjustice or injustice that has been inflicted upon two Border Patrol agents who were only doing their job in pursuing a drug dealer from Mexico. They're in jail. He is free. He is now going to sue the U.S. government for $5 million. George Bush can grant him amnesty. Nearly 100 Republican congressmen have signed a petition for such amnesty, and yet they've been ignored.
Why wasn't Michael Savage invited to the White House? Here's the answer.
Beautiful job, Beowulf. So now you know why only Wallbanger and his gang, unknown talk show hosts by and large, who have no ratings whatsoever, would go. And I'm actually proud that I wasn't invited. They didn't even understand the issues until I elucidated them. And I don't even know what the, you know, what they stand for. I don't have the time to listen to other shows. I truly don't. But remember, you know, you go back even to Harriet Myers. That was a tape from when she was nominated. I was the first one in the electronic media to say, no, Mr. Bush, it's an insult. I don't think you remember how bad that was and how bad it looked. Then the Dubai ports deal, then the illegal alien amnesty, and the Ramos and Campion case, where I'm on the side of these U.S. Border Patrol agents of Hispanic heritage, by the way, in jail for 11 years. Now, why won't Bush grant them amnesty? Why has he taken the side of the drug dealer? Why won't he grant amnesty to the Marines who are being unfairly persecuted? So, you know, of course he's not going to invite me if I'm raising these uncomfortable questions. And that's your answer. Now, on the illegal amnesty issue, I got to tell you a personal story for a quick minute. I have a housekeeper who comes, you know, once a week. She's the nicest lady in the world. I know her for 11 years. I'm not going to mention her name, but she said to me, she said, Michael, I have to ask you a question. She said, it's very difficult for me to ask you. And she was very shy. I knew what she was going to say immediately. So I said, well, what is it? She said, well, my friends on the Spanish station told me they heard that you said some things about the kids who were protesting a few weeks ago, that they should starve themselves to death if that's what they want. She said, why did you say that? I said, well, we knew that they were fakers anyway, because these hunger strikes don't last more than a few minutes in between McDonald's breaks. And they were just trying to get attention. They came here illegally. They got a free education. Now they want a free citizenship. And I said, let me explain it to you. If your children sat down and said, I'm not going to clean my room, I'm not going to eat dinner, I'm not going to do my homework, and I'm going to not eat, what would you say to them? What would you say to the child? If you don't want to eat, then don't eat and starve yourself to death if that's what you want. So she shook her head with understanding. Then I said, let me ask you something. How does the Mexican government treat illegal people trying to break in from Guatemala? She says they have the guns there in the military. Then she says, you know, you're right, Michael. She says even people from El Salvador, when they go to Mexico, she said they're treated very badly. She said the Mexican people spit at people from El Salvador. They look down upon them. I said, there's the answer to your question. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Ready, set, go, man, go. I got a gal that I love so. I'm ready. Ready, 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 I'm ready. Ready, 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 I'm ready. Ready, 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 I'm ready, ready, ready to rock and roll on the flat top, catching out the dungaree doll. I'm headed for the gym to the soccer ball. Joints are really jumping, the cats are going wild. Music really sends me ideas, crazy styles. I'm ready. Ready,
great
ready.
Buddy Holly and Ready Teddy. What energy this guy had.
Ready,
died in that plane crash. You know, it's amazing when you think about these guys and the amount of energy they had. They were sort of the pre-drug rock and roll times, at least amongst the white guys. It was largely coffee, hamburgers, and French fries. Then along came the 60s and the marijuana and the long dope train into this depressing music that we have today. 1-800-449-8255. The stories on MichaelSavage.com are SWAT team swarms Oakland Muslim Bakery, newspaper editor reportedly threatened before ambush and murder, Lucky Dog, Teddy's Cousin Cash with Rockstar Girls, very popular. What else? Three men arrested for cruising replica submarine in New York City Harbor. John Edwards is outraged that Hillary would accept $20,000 from Rupert Murdoch, which is $780,000 less than he received from his dealings with Rupert Murdoch. In other words, he got $800,000 for a book deal, and he only collected $300,000 in royalties, which means the book was a flop in advance, as are most political books. These book advances to these politicians are fundamentally, in my opinion, it's not graft. It's a payout. It's a payoff. They're buying favor here. Here's $2 million for an advance. The book sells $100,000 worth of books. So it's fundamentally a buyout in advance. That's what they're doing with the money. It's so unbelievably illegal. It's an insult to authors, by the way. And it doesn't hurt me personally. I've gotten bigger advances than that, incidentally. So don't think it's sour grapes. It isn't. It's a disgrace when publishers will give $800,000 to a fraudulent hack like John Edwards and starve authors who write good books and give them $20,000, $30,000, if that, to write phenomenally great books that go nowhere or even outsell them in some cases. Here's an interesting story on the site. Young women out earn young men in New York City and other large U.S. cities. That's right. The little old me girls who are screaming that they're oppressed and the glass ceiling, they're earning more money than the men in large U.S. cities. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I mean, I'm shocked to see that. Sure, really. Useful idiot Sean Penn applauds socialist dictator Chavez. A disgrace what a moron this person really is. I mean, it's just astounding to me what a moron he is. Incidentally, the 80 copies of the DVD remain of the last pressing. Only 80. They're selling like mad. I don't know what happened. You know, you'd think nothing would sell at the end of July and August. Look at this. Only 136 copies of the last printing of Healing Children naturally remain, and of the Alzheimer's book, which strangely took off more than the other book now. I don't even see where it is. I don't know where it went. It looks like it fell off the chart here. It's somewhere. There it is. Only 655 remain of reducing the risk of Alzheimer's, the best strategy for reducing the risk of this dread disease. There is that's the best strategy. It really is. I was 20 years ahead of my time on all of these books, and they're there. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. It's a good day for me. In a radio business, in a radio landscape where it's all basically you're hearing, you know, people are very nervous in radio right now. They really are. They keep hearing about the advertising money is going to the internet. Then the internet doesn't perform because the people who go on the, online, of which we all do, are not buying the way they were hyped to have been buying. Radio is going to make a strong comeback, in my estimation. Huge comeback around, I would say, in the beginning of 08, we're going to see a surge in radio advertising unlike any in 10 years, and it's because of the settling in of the marketplace, where advertisers come to understand that radio is still the most reactive of all of the electronic mediums, and also going into the election cycle of 08, radio is going to make I'm very bullish on radio. I'm in the business, it's true. But there's a lot of doom and gloom in the radio business today. I'm not. I'm very, very positive on this medium. Look, I drive to work. I drive myself to work. What do you think I do when I'm driving to work? I listen to the radio. You think I want to hit a device and press and look and this? I don't. Certain buttons are set. Or in my case, it's an electronic thing, which is very hard to use. And I set it, and I don't want to move around. So there's the familiarity and the easiness of the access. And plus, I can change stations quickly. So radio is a great medium. And it's a good day for me when I see that in a city like Portland, which is so twisted to the left in the media there, that I have an 8.1 share, a 9.1 at 35 to 64. It's unbelievable to me how a city like that would tune into my show. And that's KXL. And thank you, Tim McNamara. Thank you very much, Portland, Oregon, for having me on that station. Dylan, you're up in Oregon. Tell me what's going on.
Now, Mike, this is Tony from White Plains. Can you hear me?
You know, they gave me the wrong one. Okay, Tony, you're going to have to go on hold. I want Dylan from KXL in Portland is who I want. See, please put him up. Put Tony on hold because I built it up to KXL, and I want to talk to a guy from KXL. That's all, any one of them. So please put anybody up. Don't make me grope here, or I'll start breaking things. I'm going to count to five. If I don't have a KXL caller, I'm breaking a microphone. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Well, put him up. I just said put him up.
Michael.
Go ahead. Yes.
Hi, Michael.
Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm from Portland, and I have to say it's pretty comforting knowing that I'm not alone as far as being a huge fan of yours. And,
well, that's right. They want you to feel that you're crazy if you're a conservative and a patriot. They want you to feel that you're nuts and they're sane. And so what they do is they exclude anything that refers to anything you believe in from the newspapers and the media up there. Every orientation is for the illegal alien or the pervert or the deviant or the anti-American or the so-called insurgent. Anything that's actually American, they either don't show you or they make it into something evil. And so they make you feel crazy. That's exactly what they're trying to do across America. But I am your voice, not only in Oregon, but across this country. Thank you for the call. That's all. Now what? What do you want to do now? I don't know. Now we can move on. I think I've shot that wad out of the cannon. Where do I want to go? Let's see. Who was that other group like? What else? I had Chinese food last night. Should I tell you about dinner? No, it was just uneventful, excellent place I go to. I dressed, you know, I put on a tie, and I never wear a tie because I don't have to. But I got bored of not wearing a tie for 20 years. So yesterday I got into a mood. I put on a nice jacket and tie, and normally I wear like slob clothes. I got to tell you the truth. Radio is the most debilitating medium for people who like try to dress well because no one sees you. So yesterday I dressed well. I felt better. You walk around San Francisco, everybody looks like they're downtrodden. With the exception of a few businessmen and a few businesswomen down in the Embarcadero area, everyone else walks around like they're beaten up and a loser. Why are people in San Francisco the worst dressed in the whole country? Why is everybody walking around like with dirty pants and filthy clothing and rumpled clothing and looking like they're like poor? What is that all about? When did that start? You know, that's another interesting thing is what you wear in public. So I took two friends to dinner to a nice place. I went upscale instead of one of the slop jobs I go to. And consequently, the food was better. I don't have to complain today. Maybe I'll start spending more money in restaurants and it'll all come to an end, all of these complaints. It's probably a product of eating in cheap restaurants. It could be. It could be there's something to better restaurants after all. Maybe I'm learning late. But it's better late than never, right? Play some Buddy Holly on the way out of this hour. I will break the microphone. 1-800-449-8255. When I come back, all the news of the day. Ready, Teddy, on the Savage Nation. Ready, Teddy, what energy.
Rock and roll on the flat top, catching another dungaree doll.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
PD executed four warrants in four locations, including Your Muslim Bakery. We understand the target of these raids was Your Black Muslim Bakery group leader, led by Youssef Bey IV. The bakery is located at 59th and San Pablo. At this point, they've recovered firearms, sawed-off shotguns, and assault weapon ammunition, and have Youssef Bey IV in custody.
Oh, life could be a dream.
Could be a dream, not for the reporter who was gunned down in Oakland, California, for covering the Black Muslim Bakery, you know. Well, my hat's off to the Oakland PD. Thank God that you were able to unleash your weaponry finally. How'd that happen in Oakland? You didn't have to consult eight lawyers to see if it was legal to investigate? Wait till one of these vermin lawyers get a hold of you. When one of these rats come over with their silk suits, one of these civil rights rats, and start quoting that you didn't have a constitutional right to investigate, and you violated the rights of the people, and you slandered them. Wait till you see that one of these silk swami guys here. I don't know how a guy could be a policeman anymore in this sick country. The lawyers, Dick the Butcher. I would make Dick the Butcher from Shakespeare the head of the Attorney General's, or the Attorney General of the United States of America. He would know how to take care of the RDDBs. Trust me on that one. Okay. Here's an editorial in the LA Times. Heroism and the language of fascism. Civil service is commendable, says this left-winger, but worshiping soldiers and police for doing their duty has gotten out of control. You hear this? No, you should worship the opposite, the criminal. Unbelievable how sick these leftists are. But that's the disease today. The virus has metastasized in American society. The virus has metastasized to such an extent that I don't know that we can cure the disease anymore without killing the patient. Anyway, this is our number two, 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Here are the topics of the week that took off big. One, what is your worst privacy theft horror story? Two, what is your favorite savage childhood story? Three, why won't San Francisco stop coddling the homeless? Four, why are more adult men living with their mothers? Five, is the bridge collapse more than an accident? The answer, of course, we know not. No, it's purely negligence. So we got those stories. If you want to call me. It's a free call. What is this? Oh, you heard what happened in the House last night with them screaming and yelling. Here's an example. Federal court rules FBI raid on Representative William Jefferson's office was unconstitutional. Now, this is a guy in Louisiana where they found $90,000 in a freezer in the congressman's Washington home. So he goes and shops his case to some lawyer. The lawyer now proves that the FBI violated the Constitution when agents raided U.S. Rep. William Jefferson's office last year. You hear this? Can you believe this country? In other words, doesn't matter that they found $90,000 of unmarked cash in a congressman's freezer in his home. What matters is that they got a shyster lawyer who found a legal loophole where they could blame the FBI for doing the job that we pay them to do. Now, if I were the president, I would have this lawyer arrested. I'd put the lawyer in prison. I'd seize all of his assets and throw his family out of the country. I'd do it to the top 100 red diaper dopa baby lawyers the first 30 days in office. I'd go back over the most egregious offenses against American people and the American business community over the last 10 years. And the biggest earners, the top 100 RDDBs, assets seized, they're put in jail for 20 years, and their families are deported. That's step number one. You want me to give you my 90-day plan for saving America? Step one, get rid of the red diaper dopa baby lawyers like this one. See, this is like that case up in New York a number of years ago in Washington Heights where the police, undercover cops who risk their life every day, they see a suspicious car without taillights. They risk their lives. They arrest the guy. They open the trunk. They find like 36 pounds of cocaine in the trunk. So you think that's the beginning of the end of the case? That was the beginning. They find a cockamamie left-wing lawyer, a triangle shirtwaist fire seltzer boy from New York. And he says, no, you have no due process. You didn't use due process. You violated the First Amendment. Hold the case out and sue the police. I'm going to win millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. And they won millions of dollars against the police and got a few cops fired. Now, if it was me, 100 of them, the top 100 get their assets seized, thrown out of the country with their families. That's step one. You want to save the country? You need drastic medicine right now. The patient is dying. The patient called America is dying. First, you get rid of the worst elements in the country. And you don't start with the criminals. You start with the lawyers. You like that? I'm sure I just made a thousand new friends with that little piece. Thousand new friends. Tomorrow they'll be calling for me to be thrown off the air for telling the truth in my own way with my own little pantomime. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Questions linger in Connecticut killings of the mother and the two daughters. That's a shocking story because there are reports coming out now that police were outside that house for at least 20 minutes before the suspects allegedly set the house on fire, raced out, and were caught. A neighbor who was outside walking his dog that Monday morning in Connecticut said he saw a police officer near the house about 20 minutes before the suspects fled. Although no one is publicly criticizing the police, the idea that officers were positioned outside the home in Connecticut for at least 20 minutes, while some family members may still have been alive inside, adds a new dimension to the scope of the tragedy as it unfolded. Now, the fact of the matter is, the lawyers are the reason this happened. The cops in the tax squad were afraid to barge in. because they're afraid of getting sued by a lawyer. And I am telling you, unless we take the lawyers to task for what they are doing to this country day in and day out. You know, there's a billboard in San Francisco that says there are 1.4 million lawsuits in the state of California every year. The lawyers are out of control. They're lice, and they're destroying businesses. They're destroying lives. They're destroying fathers. They're destroying families. They are eating through the fabric of this society like termites, incidentally. You hear me? That's why the cops didn't protect those girls, and that's why they set them on fire, because the cops were there, but they were afraid to break in. They probably had to consult a book on rules of engagement the way our boys do now in Iraq. It's the lawyers, again, who are destroying the military and the police. There is a solution to this, which is a gutsy leader somewhere in the country who takes on the American Trial Lawyers Association and goes after them tooth and claw with the power of the government. They are not a government, and yet they're acting with more power than the government. 50% of all the money received by that fraud, John Edwards, was donated by American Trial Lawyers Association members. You hear this? It's the lawyers, my friend. That's why the police didn't save those girls who were then set on fire and killed. So there's the, you know, there's a number of tragedies out there. It's hard to focus on without getting angry and sick, and I don't know that I want to do that. I don't think you want to do it. Thank God the police and SWAT teams and bomb units had the guts to do what they're trained to do in Oakland, California, and to arrest more than a dozen suspects after raids at your black Muslim bakery. And this is a result of the gunning down of a, by the way, a prominent black reporter who was shot to death in the streets 2 days ago. Oakland Post editor Chauncey Bailey, who was investigating the black Muslim bakery and its related businesses, was killed in cold blood on Thursday. I'm proud to tell you that on Friday, the police acted. They probably told the lawyers to drop dead. And I am proud of the police in Oakland, California. Now, when the first shyster lawyer appears on behalf of the black Muslims, that's an example of what's wrong with America. The one who threatens to sue because the constitutional rights were violated when you know they weren't, and he finds a loophole to prove that it was when it really wasn't. That's the kind of man I am talking about, the kind of criminal that is more dangerous than the criminals themselves in this country. Jeff, in Sacramento, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I actually completely agree with you. The top lawyers, this whole legal system needs to be redone. I am a law student in Sacramento, and I commend the officers for doing their job. And no lawyer should be able to interfere with their job and what they're trying to do. And any time a lawyer steps up and tries to destroy America with this crap, we have too many...
Well, take a look at the war against radical Islam. Who is it who's trying to stop the war against radical Islam with false charges that we have no right to listen to foreign conversations coming from overseas that may be conducted by terrorists? Who's doing it? Far-left, psychopathic, red-diaper-dopa-baby lawyers. They're mentally ill. They're all on drugs, legal or illegal. They hate this country in and out, and yet they're all wealthy men. They feed off the system that they put down. Thank you for the call. But I have no answer for it. I don't have the power. All I did was stop the Dubai port, steal, and illegal immigration. How can I stop the lawyers? How can I turn America around? What can I do to stop these lawyers? Is there anything I can do? I don't know. You know what? I haven't put my mind to it now that I think about it. You know, let's see now. Little old me. One man, undershirt, microphone, radio show. No power, not invited to the White House. Only the sycophants who support the worst of Bush's policies were invited. And how they still have an audience the next day is beyond me. But, that you know, P.T. Barnum, This Way to the Egress, and another great writer who said no one ever, lost any money underestimating the intelligence of the American people. He wasn't so far from the truth in that regard. You know, all these guys wrapped themselves in the flag in a gung-ho war, but you ask them why they're not over there. H.L. Mencken was 100% right. You know, these guys are embarrassing. They're an embarrassment. An embarrassment. They're all for the war. They should go over there, as I said to you. If they're so interested in helping the poor Iraqi people who are interested only in cutting each other's throats, at this point, we've done our job. I would say it's over already. Get out of there. We've done our job already. You don't want to do what I said? Then don't even do that. Then it's over. Let them kill each other. What do I care about the oil? We're not getting it anyway. Who's getting that oil? We keep hearing, oh, we can't let the terrorists get the fourth biggest supply of oil in the world. Where is it? Where is it? Where's the oil from Iraq? Have you seen your oil prices go down or up recently? That's because they seized the fourth largest supply of oil on Earth to make sure it wasn't released to the general public so they can drive prices up, incidentally. The whole thing's cockeyed, and there could be a tremendous consequence to this Iraq adventure. The longer I think about it, there could be tremendous consequences for the men who are engaging in this activity at this point. There could be trials, and there could be a trial for some of them. They could be put on trial and be put in jail. It could go all the way up to the top, and it could happen. Don't underestimate the other side. It could happen. They could wind up in prison. Don't say it couldn't happen. It could happen. You know, there was a time in France in the 60s. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I thought it was a great justice. Tainted blood had been released into the general population by I don't know who. It's a socialized medical system over there. The French put in jail the head of the National Health Service. Now, she had nothing to do with the tainted blood being released. She was an executive at the top of the pyramid, but she had nothing directly to do with it. But the French people were so pissed off that tainted blood had been released into the general population and people died that they arrested and imprisoned the head of the National Health Service. I was very proud that they had done that. I think those days are coming to the United States of America so that we have culpability from the people at the top, because this has to stop. See, most of the legislators and heads of agencies are lawyers. You got to understand that. And they got there because they know how to trick the system. And they know how to hold up the pinball machine and let the ball roll on a flat board. They're not playing with a tilted pinball machine. They're lifting that machine up and they've turned off the tilt button. You know what I'm saying? Those of you who ever play pinball, I'll be right back.
Savage.
Only you can make all this world seem right. Only you can.
It is Rock and Roll Friday, 1-800-449-8255. We're talking about a bunch of different things. Now my mind got distracted already. I don't even want to do politics anymore. I'm looking at the internet. I'm looking at the Pebble Beach weekend as the auto thing coming up. I don't even know when it is. In August 15th. When is it? When is August 15th? Tomorrow? I don't even know dates anymore. What is today's day? Today is August 3rd. Okay, let's start with that. Wednesday, August 15th is a special invitation-only private hangar showing for people with private jets. I will not be there. Christie's auction. When Steve McQueen's Ferrari Lusso and Peter Fonda's Harley Davidson Road King, Thursday, Monterey Jet Center, admission by catalog, $60. I will not be invited to that. The Quail, a motorsports gathering sponsored by the Quail Lodge. This high-ticket event features all things opulent. Fine wine. Schmucks. I don't even want to go. I get around these people. It's so boring. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I'm not going. Even if they invite me now, I'm not going. Maybe I will go. I don't know. I don't like people. You know, you walk around San Francisco, you see the poseurs. Their politics are all warped. But you see they swirl wine in a wine. They know how to swirl wine. And they even swirl coffee at the end to show you their the aroma. Real experts in everything. They don't know they're behind from their elbow, but they know how to swirl wine in a glass, you know. This is what you see all over the Bay Area. Poseurs, and more poseurs. So that's the story. It's one man's opinion. You know, it's like I feel like I'm in Brobdingnag here, is what it is. For those of you who know the book I'm referring to, who knows where Brobdingnag was? It's here. It's in San Francisco. Brobdingnag was Jonathan Swift's view of San Francisco, what was coming. I'm living in Brobdingnag. And thus far, I'm still walking the streets without having been tied up by the Lilliputians. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. I don't know what I want to do yet. I'm not sure. I'm still warming up. I got so much energy lately. What happened? I know what happened. I love August, number one. I always feel great in August. I don't know why. I have reasons, I think, but it's not interesting. I love August as a month. It means the horrible summer's almost over, where the heat blinds me and gets me hot and gives me skin cancer. Soon it'll be autumn, which I love. I mean, I love picking the tomatoes I grew. I got the most delicious cherry tomatoes you ever saw. You plant them in April, and you pick them, and you eat them, and you eat them, and you eat them. Oh, are they good. I got nectarines. I got peaches. I got apricots on my trees. You can't believe how beautiful this season is.
Savage.
Every night I hope and pray a dream lover will come my way.
Savage Nation. No bridges. No bridges to nowhere. It's a story to nowhere. It's over. What can you do about it? What are the schmucks standing there with the bridge behind them? Every putz from New York flew. Every schmuck, when they're not wearing the... how come they aren't wearing the... what did they used to wear everywhere they went out? There was a while they all wore the same, like a mini flak jacket, like a photo thing, a vest where you could put things in. What are they doing there? Why does anyone want to look at the poor bridge again? Now, every bridge you're on, there's not enough people with bridge anxiety in America. It's an actual phobia that people have. I think there's millions of people now going to be afraid to go over a bridge in America. Now they tell you, your bridge is broken, that bridge is broken. The metal is thin. It's thin like it's like aluminum foil about to snap. George Washington, Verrazano Narrows, the Golden Gate Bridge. The only bridge that isn't vulnerable is the Ted Stevens Bridge to Nowhere, since it wasn't built. You know, if the money that Ted Stevens raised for the Bridge to Nowhere was invested over there in Minneapolis, these people would be alive today. Did you ever think of that one? Yeah, not funny. I'm thinking about that Monterey thing. I got stuck in my head. I shouldn't have gone on the internet. It's very distracting. The attainable Pebble Beach. The Pebble Beach weekend has evolved into an entire Holy Week for the motoring faithful. I could drive down there. I could go. I could go in my Ferrari 430, or I could go in my Cadillac 1965. But, what, I'm going to be a schmuck driving around with a Ferrari? Or a moron driving around with a Cadillac? Who's that schmuck? I mean, I'm too self-conscious for all of this stuff. Why would I want to go there? And if I went, I would wear a Groucho Marx nose and beard and eyeglasses. Why do you want to drive around and be seen by idiots you don't even know? I'll never understand that whole thing about cars. In other words, if you have a car that you love, it's supposed to be like you love it. I heard that in Italy, the guys who own the Ferraris, you know what they do? They put them in their bonds. A guy told me, he's funny, an Italian guy, rich guy, he says to me, in Italy, they drive them into their bonds and they don't even take them out. And they put chairs around the Ferrari and they sit and smoke cigars and drink wine and look at their Ferrari as like an art piece. They don't drive around with the top down like they're 18 years old. You know, I mean, it's amazing when you get older, it's funny. Because a Ferrari is a work of art. I got to tell you that. They're an amazingly beautiful piece of sculpture. I've never seen anything like it. It's astounding. But where can you speed? What, are you going to speed on a highway? You're going to do 57? So I love that. The 430 has now been, like, everybody wants the 590. Why? It's a V12 as opposed to a V8. Oh. So you're going to go 200 miles an hour on the highway? It's all this one-upsmanship. You know, if they made a car for $500,000, everybody would want that. The guys who have the money would want that one. It's just human nature. That's all it is. It's like boats. Why do you need a boat bigger than the other guy? You could say it's, can I say the word? Phallic envy? I'll use that word. Okay, it's less offensive than the word that Freud used. Okay, phallic envy. So the guy's, oh, my boat's 46. Oh, yeah, mine is 72 feet. Really? I'm 103 feet. Oh, boy, you must be some man. Woo-hoo. But how many of them actually drive their own boat and actually enjoy being on the boat, or are they doing it to be seen on the boat? You know, what's the point of all of the money at a certain point? What is it for? I'm just raising questions. I don't have the answers. If I had the answers, I would be a talk show host. But right now, I don't have any answers. I have only questions. Let's see. Friday, down-to-earth classic cars tour through the Monterey Peninsula in the neighborhood Pacific Grove. Mid-century MGs, that's a 50 MG. Austin Healey's and Corvettes abound. This year, classic Porsche cars will be the lead feature. All right, that's a nice one if you like MG. I never liked the MG. I thought it was a piece of junk when it was built. I don't know why people drive an MG TD. They were garbage in the 50s, or Austin Healey's. There was a joke in Queens. I knew a kid who had an Austin Healey, and he later became a car dealer before he married a rich girl and became a banker. He used to say that when you got an Austin Healey, you had to drive around with a net behind it to catch the parts. That was the joke that went around, you know. But the old joke with the Fiat, fix it again, Tony. Remember that joke? Fiat stands for fix it again, Tony. Remember that? They were funny jokes in their time, and they had a certain sense to them. does Fiat still exist in America? I haven't seen one in years. They came out with one model in the 80s that was like a pancake that was very nice. Knock wood there. They make a car that's terrific. You could put 400 miles on a Maserati without having to have the engine overhauled now. You can get to 500 miles without having the front end fall out. But they look nice. That's the important thing, is how you look on the way with the tow truck. Is that, you know, if you're in a tow truck and they're towing your Maserati and you're sitting next to the tow driver, at least people know you own a Maserati. What's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that. Let's see. The pinnacle event of the Pebble Beach Week is the Concours d'Elegance. Brings out the who's who, the rich and the famous. Oh, yeah. It brings out half the con men of the state of California looking to either marry someone with money or try to filch somebody with money. Rich and the famous and the who's who. The creme of the automotive press's proverbial crop. The event sets up early in the morning for viewing and culminates in the grand showing of the top motor cars. Then only one was stunning event. Indeed, Sunday, August 19th, lodge at Pebble Beach, $100 to $350 a person. I will not go to that. That's one I'm not going to. In the nearby Concorso di Italiano, that sounds interesting. Maybe I can get a decent piece of pizza. Let's see. In the nearby community seaside, a gathering of more than 500 Italian classics such as Ferraris, Maseratis, Lamborghinis, Fiats, and Alfas are paired with festival-style food, drink, and exhibits in a park-like setting. Bayonet Black Horse Golf Course Seaside. I already see the migraine from the sun and the bad wine. I already got a migraine with the sun flash in the eye and thinking about the two-hour ride back home, sweating like a beast of burden in the car. I'm not going to that one. You know the wine is like a rat gut. Let's see. Monterey Historic Races. Now, this one I may go to. This historic racing series runs for four full days from dawn until dusk. Featured this year are the Indy Roadsters, the original Open Wheelers. Remember, these are race cars, but they are the race cars of the past, and seeing them tool down the track is indeed awe-inspiring. Thursday to... Now, that might be good at the Laguna Seca, the Mazda Race or Laguna Seca. That's... I would love to see the old race cars. They really belch fumes. Yeah, you know what I mean? They, like, really let out a roar with that smoke. I don't want anything with the opulent and the fine and the this. And I hear fine and the opulent and the who's who. I know already it's con men and grifters and nymphos from Marin County looking for their fifth husband. WOR in New York, Bob, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Please go to Pebble Beach for us and tell us how it was. I've been wanting to go for 50 years.
You want me to go and do it? I'll go. I'll actually just go. I may just go.
No, I mean, granted, I mean, I'm a working guy, but all my life I've been torn between trying to get out there and everything, and I've gone through everything you're racking your brain about all the phonies and all that. Just go for the shit.
It's the cars are the point. You're right. Forget the people. Go for the cars. I'll go. I'm going to try to go if I'm here, and I'm going to take pictures of some of the beautiful cars and put them on michaelsavage.com. Would that help you, Bob?
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of websites. There was one website last year that did a fantastic photo.
I'll do it. I may even do a video if I do go. Then I'll show me eating, scoffing down some food, some bad meatballs. All right. You see, that's the listener. That's the listener. Monterey, California. Bob, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I just kind of let you know you got to come here and check out the cars. And you're not coming to see the people. You're coming to check out the cars if you go to Pebble Beach.
Maybe that's what I'll do. Are you a participant in any way, Bob?
No, negative. Actually, I live here on the Central Coast. I'm in construction, and I work all in that area. So I get to actually see the cars driving up and down the road. And boy, there's something to see. They're beautiful
cars.
Yeah,
well, the cars are the thing. That's right. So it's not for the people and the whatever. And, it actually is something I should go to if I'm here. I'm out here already. I live here. I live only 2 hours away. How far a drive is it from San Francisco to Pebble Beach?
Pebble Beach, probably no more than 2 hours, like you say.
Isn't that owned by Clint Eastwood?
He used to be he was the mayor of Carmel. And Carmel.
Right. Well, I'm sure he can't wait to break bread with me after what I said about him from his movie, because of his movie Letters from Iwo Jima. I'm sure he can't wait to invite me into his home for a drink.
Well, you're on the right track there. You really tell it like it is. And
I loved Clint Eastwood's movies, the Dirty Harry movies. I liked all of his movies until recently when he turned so left it got frightening. What happened? Did he become senile? Why would he make a movie that was produced, directed, and written by Paul Haggis, who was an America hater through and through. This very, I'm talking about Letters from Iwo Jima, where he made the Japanese soldiers sympathetic and almost made the American soldiers into villains. I couldn't believe what I was watching. The very same director-writer, Paul Haggis, is working on a hit piece on the American military right now with a movie showing our troops as being monsters who killed another soldier. You know what I'm saying?
I definitely do. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I don't go for this. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened to Clint Eastwood. But I think he got so caught up with wanting to be loved and revered. Remember, in the 60s and 70s when he started, he was alone. He was considered an outlaw to Hollywood. They sneered at him. He was just, you know, a rogue film director. A rogue actor, rogue film director. And then suddenly they caught on to Clint Eastwood, and the minute they gave him a stroke on the back, he started making left-wing movies and started to become left-wing characters. And that's, you know, because he was getting more and more rewards from Hollywood. That's what I think happened.
I think so, too. He got caught, you know, he stuck on himself. That's what happened.
I don't know. It's a sad thing because he was really a great movie star and a great director. I don't know how to explain it any other way. Thanks for the call. Every time I drive through Chinatown, for example, when I drive past, there was a restaurant up on one Washington Street called the Golden. One of the streets. It was the Golden Dragon. That was a scene where they shot a shootout in one of the Clint Eastwood movies when he had a Chinese partner. It was a great scene, and I love driving by that restaurant, remembering that scene in the movies. Or when I'm out boating on San Francisco Bay, there's a very obscure part of the bay where there's another scene from one of his movies. So he was all over this area. Remember Play Misty for Me with the stalker? Oh, boy, that was good. That was a good movie with that Jaguar XK140 when he was the radio. Right, he was a radio guy in that one, a disc jockey. And in Monterey, I love that scene. Remember? You remember that movie? That was so good. Play Misty for Me. That was terrific. 1-800-4, now I'm feeling good because we're doing cars. Now we're moving already into cars. Hey, do you have the peel-out sound that I used to play on the show? Otherwise, I'll fire up the old soundboard I have here. You have it in the archives. I'm going to get the car sounds I used to have. Or, conversely, if you could find Girls, Girls, Girls by, I think, there you go. That's close, not one. It's in that genre. Again, hit the wrong button. That's better. There you go. Now it's a car sound. So many good music pieces. I used to use these as cuts in the mid-90s. I was like 500 years ago. When were the mid-90s? 50 years ago? God, everything's changed. Like, you know, you think of some of the music from that era, right? Whatever happened to Huey Lewis in the News? Where are they? I was watching a movie from the 80s the other night on TV, and like one of the characters says, well, here's the latest, when he pulls out like a CD, he gives someone a CD that already looked 50 years old with Huey Lewis in the News in it. I said, where is Huey Lewis in the News, or Huey Lewis in the Losers? Huey Lewis in the Losers. Where are these guys? There were some amazing musicians. Remember, what was that song, The California Hotel? I love that song. Who are they? Where are the Beagles? The Beagles. Oh, the Eagles. I'm sorry. The Eagles. And what was that? Hotel California. Could you pull that down off Napster? I actually want to do an 80s revival for a few minutes. Yep, you see the different cadence? Oh, till you play it already. The audience will flip channels. I'll lose 30% of my P1s on this. Let's stop right there. No, let's not do the prologue. Let's get down to it. Speed it up. Let's get to the point. Play it again, Sam. Let's go where it starts, where four radio start. I'm already sweating through three undershirts because of this today. All right, forget it. Don't do it. I don't care. Missouri Andy, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, my question is about Corvairs. I've had several people tell me that you'd almost need an engineering degree to own one of these cars.
The worst car ever made by Chevrolet was the Corvair. I got a Corvair story for you that just came back to my mind. I had a friend, his first initial was M. I don't know if he's still living. I hope he is. M bought a Corvair, a brown one. I'll never forget. He bought a brand new Corvair. This kid saved up every dime. It was a hot looking car in its day. Remember, Italian design with a radial engine, if I remember correctly, right?
They're beautiful.
Wrong. Gone already. I don't know what engine it had. All I know is it caught fire after 200 miles. The engine blew up. Caught fire on him. This kid was back in the Chevrolet shop with that car day in and day out. It was a horrible car. the Corvair. Horrible. What, you own one or you want to get one?
No, I was actually thinking about buying one. I think they're really...
No. You don't want to buy a car like that. What for? You'd have to take the engine out, and you'd have to put an engine that actually works in there. What do you want to give yourself a hernia like that, a psychic hernia? You got that song ready yet or not? Still winding it up? Play Hotel California. I love this tune in the 80s. It's all gone now. Even the 80s are over. That was a funny joke. Come on. The past is moving so fast that even the 90s are over, if you know what I'm saying. I like men's hairstyles. Like, guys don't know what kind of hair to wear. Play it loud for a minute or two, or 3 seconds. Are they still living, the Eagles? Where is an individual Eagle today? Where would an Eagle be? All right. It's enough for it. I can't even listen. You have to listen and try to think what they're saying and get the theme, but I'm not interested in what they were saying. Why would I care what a bunch of drug addicts wrote in the song? I mean, I want to hear the tune. I don't mean they particularly were drug addicts. I don't know who they were. They're probably nice guys. They probably are born again, go to church now from all the years of excess, as most of them, but... The fact of the matter is, I don't want to listen for, like, wisdom from a song. Is that where I turn for, like, wisdom? I want wisdom. I read Tacitus, the Annals of Imperial Rome. I want wisdom. I might read Schopenhauer. I mean, what do you mean? I want wisdom from a musician or from an actor. I turn to Sean Penn for insights or a Clint Eastwood movie. That's where I go for my insight. I'm still trying to get through, you know, like, English translations of ancient Rome. And I'm going to turn to the Hotel California for my insights. I don't want a theme. I mean, I don't want a message in a song, if you don't mind. Just entertain me, if you don't mind, minstrel. You know what I mean? Strum your guitar. I'm not interested in what you have to think. I'll be right back.
Savage. We were running against the wind. We were young and strong.
It is an 80s revival on the Savage Nation. Bob Seger running against the wind. Beautiful tune. But slow, you see. Look at the difference. I don't have time for this. I'm sorry. It's like watching golf. I can't do it. Turn it off. I mean, I'm sorry. It's a great, you know, wonderful lyrics. But you had to have either been on glue or PCP to listen to the whole thing. And I never was, so I never listened to it then, so I should listen to it now. Don't get me wrong, I like musicians. I had a friend who I really liked. He was a great friend of mine. I don't even know where he is now. He has had a platinum record on his wall. He had a nice dog. Moved to Arizona. I never heard of him. He was in a top band. He was a guitar player. The nicest, I don't mean nice guy, kind of nice guy. He wasn't nice. He was a good friend, and I really like him. I don't know where he is. SM, where are you? Actually, if you're listening to the show, I hope he's doing well. I liked him and his kid and his family. I really did. But I like musicians, creative people, fun to be with, stand-up people. Every one of them was a good friend, always there when you needed him. The ones I knew, one person. I knew one musician in my whole life. How can I say I love musicians? Because it's so subjective, these things. It'd be like someone saying, I hate talk show hosts. How many did you know? One. And he screwed me in a real estate deal. Or you say, well, I really love opera people in the opera. How many did you know? None, but I hear they're like Pavarotti. They cook for you in their house. You know, everything is subjective. It's like, who was that guy, that psychiatrist in the 60s who wrote a great book, In and Out the Garbage Pail? I think it was Richard Pearl. I may have gotten, not the politician. There was a psychiatrist guy. He wrote a very funny self-help pop book in the 70s or 60s, In and Out the Garbage Pail. And this guy was so nakedly real, he would say, I went to Houston, Texas on a book tour. I met a woman and had sex with her in the hotel room. I loved Houston. I went to Los Angeles on a book tour. I had a master headache for 3 days before and after. I met nobody. I hated Los Angeles. He was trying to say something. Now, he was a single guy. It's not about morality here. It's about the subjective nature of our likes and dislikes, and how we project that onto the larger scale, you know, of issues and events and people and places. You know, get what I'm saying or not? Or did I go, like, away from the track with the car, with the toy?
Savage.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The Savage Nation Act 3 on this Friday. In the left ring, we have the Democrat Party making jackasses of themselves. In the right ring, we have nobody. In the center ring, we have Michael Savage, master of ceremonies. Oh, what fun I'm having. It's dangerous to have this much fun. I know what happens the next day. It's usually depression. The confessions of a manic depressive. I'm having fun today. I found my old instant replay here on the radio show. I used to have I had music I used all through the 90s in here, like this. Look,
ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I'm not allowed to use that. That's from the other thing. These are old. These are archived. I could sell this on eBay. This instant replay loaded with my sounds, I could sell for a lot of money. You remember these? Does anyone remember the show I had? I made the whole stage. I made the city rock. Okay, listen to this. These were my, you remember this? I had the whole city hanging on every note. Driving over the Oakland Bridge, driving over the Golden Gate Bridge, walking in the gutters of San Francisco, being spat upon by bums from the mayor's office. That was good. Everyone loved that. Now, remember this bump? Does anyone remember this stuff? And you're old if you do. Don't even admit it. But we played. I'm playing the old sounds of the show. Listen.
Good evening and welcome to the Chronicle Pavilion and tonight's very special event, Savage Uncensored.
Remember I did that live show, 7,000 people. I drew more people than Sheryl Crow, I believe.
Good evening and
oh, I just did that. No. Sorry, I'm not in the Hamtramck, Michigan. Oh, my way when I sang this to too slow, depressing. Oh, Dino! Remember these? Does anybody remember? This is the geography of the Savage Nation in sound. Listen. Oh! Para vivir! This is what we're going to sing today on the Savage Nation. I love to life. The Democrats, their theme song is to death. Para vivir, the theme song of the Savage Nation for all of you new Hispanic listeners to realize what a great show you've discovered. Now we have Ragtime. I used this in the 90s. A little slow, no good. Oh, this I like because it freaked out all of the... The minute they hear it, they think it's like Nazi music. It's like football music. They already saw like Hitler in their head. They got Hitler on the brain. That's all they have on their brain. They become the Nazis of our time, all the left. The little fascist vermin. Beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous. Like tubas, Pennsylvania, snow, marching music, epaulettes. Frankie Lane. Remember him? Where is he? I pray he's living in L.A. somewhere. I hope there's no tubes and pipes. That's all. I don't want to hear it if there are. I hope he's enjoying some Sunset Boulevard house. God, that's funny. You remember Frankie Lane? God, where are these people? You know, everyone, you know, it's the way of all flesh. The after many a summer dies the swan. And I'm online, you know what I'm saying? I'm on the line here, and I know it. Believe me, I'm online. Trust me, I don't think I'm immortal. But you keep going. You keep going. Every day I get up and say, well, God gave me the breath. I'm going to keep doing what I got to do for borders, language, and culture. I'm doing it. I'm a voice in the wilderness. I'm fighting these vermin who are trying to kill my country, and I'm going to keep doing it. And I got to tell you something. When I get numbers like I did today out of Portland, Oregon on KXL, and I see that I'm the king of talk radio in a liberal city such as Portland, Oregon, where I have a 9 share, it's astounding to me. It's astounding. What does that tell you? It tells you a number of things. It tells you, A, that the city is not as liberal as the media would have you believe, and the left-wing groups that have knocked up the entire social fabric, but they really don't represent the people of that city. It's a microcosm. We're going to go right now to Portland, Oregon, to KXL, Tim. Tim is the program director who had the genius to take this show. Tim, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Savage. I just wanted to congratulate you on your victory over the airwaves out here. I started listening to you 3 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're a listener. I thought you were the program director. I'm sorry. Tim's going to hate me. All right. You're a listener, which is even more important than the program director. So when I started in Portland, what did you first think?
Well, you're just a phenomenon over the airwaves, and you got me hooked right away. I'm a truck driver out here, and I remember one day I was over the road, and you said, "Honk if you're listening to Savage," and three guys around me honked, and I knew I wasn't the only one listening to you.
Okay, so we're going to do it right now. Here, we're going to do it again. If you're listening to Michael Savage somewhere in America, well, we can't say flash your lights because it's summer, and the gay and lesbian police will have you arrested. I don't know how many police are on your side anymore, so we can't do that. How about flashing your lights? That's not illegal, is it? So we're going to count it down. 1-8. How do we do this? Okay. I'm going to say 3-2-1. And when I say 1, flash your lights if you're listening to Michael Savage, no matter where you are. Ready? 3-2-1. Flash your lights if you're listening to Michael Savage. Guy will call, say, "Mike, I feel like committing suicide. I'm on a highway with 50 million cars. I'm the only one flashing the lights." And a woman cop pulled me over who's 5'1" with a club, and she beat me up. No, I thank you for the call. Love Savage. Play Hotel California again. I'm drifting in the wrong direction. I was having fun. I thought it was the program director. 80s. Retro 80s. Having a retro 80s. Where's the leprechaun tonight? Is he getting stewed in an Irish bar, I hope? What are they doing their day off, all these guys? They put girls on in their place? I don't put girls on in my place. Nothing against women, but I just sit a woman in my chair. Slow, very sluggish. No good. All right, so kill it. Don't like it. See, it's too slow. The 50s were faster. They were faster. Do you have any Steve Miller Band, Fly Like an Eagle? Remember that? That was an interesting song. I'll keep playing with my sound while you're searching for that one. Let's try. Oh, this was a big thing in the 90s when I first did the show. Not funny. Okay. We did that. No good. No, that's a death thing. No good. The national anthem is for another time. Star Spangled Banner for another time. Sheep, that's for every time in a Savage. This is the sound of the average voter in America.
Oh, I think the Democrats have a lot going for them. Oh, yeah, after that Bush, we need a progressive vote in America. Oh, we need health care for everybody. Ooh, we need health care. Health care. We all need health care. Why don't you give us health care? We want health care. Out of Iraq. Health care. Global warming. Health care. What? Global warming.
How come we haven't heard global warming stuff for a month? What happened to where Al Gore? After his son got busted for drugs, you haven't heard anymore. His son got picked up with Vicodin, Hicodin, Micodin, Spicodin, and Schmicodin. And marijuana on top of it all, and Al Gore stopped with the global warming. For 1 month, we weren't beaten up with a big lie. The glaciers stopped retreating. The polar bears came back to life, all because his son got caught with drugs in the car. Thank God. I mean, well, you know, thank God for small favors here. Oh, I did not. No, Kent. We did sheep. That's already. I used to do this when I was talking to. When I play a liberal on the show, I'd play this. Remember that? Boy, this instant replay is loaded with great sound. Listen. That's the mascot of the Democrat Party, the donkey. There's John Edwards talking about the poor.
I am the Lord your
No, no Ten Commandments mockery on a Shabbos. Okay, I don't have anything to say to that.
Terminate this.
Oh, there was a Democrat liberal whack job congressman who came on my show in 1995. And the minute he came on, I challenged him, and he said that to me. It was unbelievable. What cut was that? I lost it already. Oh, my God. This is a funny one. He cut the show off. He said that right on my show. He says,
We will terminate this.
That's thunder. Thunder. I was a big sound effects guy. I haven't done this for years. Wait a minute. No, no, not funny. Not good. Can't do rifle cock. Can't do cannon shot. Can't do pistol shot. Can't do machine gun. Can't do rifle shot. Can't do bottle rocket. Can't do fireworks. Can't do laughing. It still makes me laugh, that fake sound effect. You know a show is dead when they play laughter soundtracks. There's a guy on radio, it's sad. He has a good website. He plays his own laugh tracks now. Oh, my God. It's pathetic to listen to a laugh track on a radio show. You know when they play that? So you say something like, and by the way, I went over there the other day and the calamari was no good. I'm playing all the old sound here. I'm just having fun. Go listen to someone else to give you the false news. What do I care? These are no good. This is the tail end that sucks. Godfather theme 1. Godfather theme 2. Godfather wedding. Not good. The Olive Harvest. And that's it. It's over. I ran through the sound effects. So you've had a little geography of the Savage Show for a while, and now we'll go back to the callers, 1-800-449-8255. Or, if you prefer, folks, we can go to my website, my ever-popular website. I actually like this website because the pictures are great. Drew works his behind off on it, kills himself all day. Now, what's the most important story on there? Savage tops in Portland on KXL breaks ratings records. That's for you liberals there. You think you run the city, huh? You're nothing. You got nothing going for you. No one believes a word you say. You can boycott the show all you want. I'm bigger than ever. How do you like that? And the program director and the owner, they like me even more because you boycott me. Keep boycotting. That's all I can say. You and your illegal alien buddies there who march in the gutter calling me a racist. You know what you are? You are the enemy of this country, not me. I'm the hero. I'm the patriot. You are the enemy of this country. And one day you'll pay for your sins against this nation. Mark my words. It may be in your old age. It may be in your old age, but one day you're going to pay for your crimes against this country. That's my dream. And I have a dream. I have a dream one day there'll be justice in this country. And all the leftists who took sawed-off shotguns to this nation's heritage and took sawed-off shotguns and automatic weapons to our borders, language, and culture, in their old age, they're arrested and they're tried and they are punished for what they've done to this country. That's not bad. That's very enthusiastic, Michael. Why do you get so worked up when no one seems to care? They're all like blasé and then no one cares. Why do I care so much? Why should I care? Because in the left wing, we have Hillary Clinton pretending to be a man who wants to be a woman, who wants to be a man, who wants to be a woman president. In the right ring, we have nobody running against her. Nobody. There's nobody in the ring. In the center, there are the American people deciding which way to go. And when I return, I will take your calls right here. On the one and only Savage Nation. Savage. It was a very interesting appearance today by Representative Thaddeus McCotter, a Republican from Michigan, on how Iran plays into the Iraq war. That's really worth listening to because he really is smart and he really understood the whole picture. Listen to this. It's really important.
How do you prevent the Iranians, given the proximity, given the relationships, kinships between the Shia and in Iraq and Iran, from subverting a constitutional government? I believe that you have to hearken back to the Iran-Iraq war, where I believe close to 1 million people were killed. The Iraqi Shia fought in that war. If you look at the celebrations, I know it is a vignette, but it remains valid. If you look at the celebration of their nationhood after their soccer victory, the vast majority of Iraqis who remain in Iraq identify themselves with Iraq. When the Iranian Revolution occurred, Khomeini's people immediately viewed the secular Ba'ath Party as an enemy. They had to get rid of Saddam Hussein's regime. They wanted
now
to export.
Now, let's pause for a minute. Listen to what he just said. The Iranians under Khomeini, the radical Muslim, viewed Saddam Hussein as an enemy. So George Bush enters Iraq on the side of the Iranians, destroys Saddam Hussein and his Ba'ath Party. And what did he expect would happen? He would strengthen the Shia, and the Shia would join with Iran. So Iran is the big winner. George Bush played into the hands of the Iranians. This is one of the greatest military tragedies in the history of this country, one of the most ill-conceived and ill-planned and ill-conducted wars in history. There is no question about it. That's why it is this controversial. You know, everyone who opposes it isn't a pacifist and a loser. I mean, just because the talk show hosts who went to the White House are all war heroes in their own mind doesn't mean that they're right. I'll be telling you the truth. Listen to the rest of this.
This regime, they wanted to export their revolution. Very much like Trotsky believed you had to export communism. Shia, who were friendly towards the Iranian revolution, then tried to destabilize the Iraqi regime by trying to perform assassinations on Ba'ath Party members, including Tariq Aziz. Those Iraqi Shia were then chased out into Iran, where they were housed for 20 years. The first step would have been to ensure that they did not come back in as the United States troops removed the Saddam Hussein regime. Now that they are there, we start to see the bitter fruits of that, such as with the Mahdi army, such as with Muqtada al-Sadr and others. But it is my belief that the Shia who have stayed in Iraq, who stayed through the Iran-Iraq war, that do not want any part of that Iranian regime, are the ones that are going to be, if we are successful through the Petraeus plan, the ones who are empowered to bring forth both the transformational and transactional benefit to the Shia people. If you look at what al-Sadr is doing in parts of
Now, let's pause right here because this man is absolutely brilliant. I had not heard him before. I'm glad to see that we have a brilliant visionary almost in a Republican Party who can articulate. I didn't think we had any. I knew we had a few senators like Jeff Sessions who were stalwart in their articulations. But to see that we have such intelligence in the Republican Party is amazing to me. But the bottom line is it was a military disaster and travesty. We helped Iran, as I feared would happen in liberalism as a mental disorder when I feared
Savage.
This.
Savage.
Hey, O.J., who are you leaning toward in the next presidential election and why?
Hillary Clinton. I love Bill Clinton. I played golf with Bill Clinton. And despite Monica Lewinsky, who was a neighbor of mine, as everybody knows. Despite that,
all right, thanks, O.J. So we got O.J. Simpson's for Hillary Clinton. That's a real plus. That's a feather in her cap, right? Yes, Hillary. He loves Hillary Clinton. That's really terrific. Just what she needed right now. That's a real support system. Now, I asked you a few minutes ago, 20 minutes ago or so, that if you were listening to the show, to flash your headlights. Idaho, Byron, go ahead, please. What did you see?
Well, Mike, I was driving down a rural highway in Idaho, and three cars in the oncoming lane, when you hit one, flashed their lights, as did I. And I just
in Idaho on a small road or on a highway?
On a highway. It's not a small one, but it's not real busy either.
That's very nice. Thank you for the call. So now I'm going to move on to the next level here. If there are any aliens, and I don't mean immigrants, listening, please flash the lights on your spaceship now. Any aliens listening to the Savage Nation, and I don't mean illegal aliens, I mean space aliens, please flash the lights of your spacecraft now. Hello, everybody. This is FM Bob. Filling in for Mike, who had to take a break. Mike walked out of the studio a few moments ago, and he stepped on the balcony and just whoosh like that disappeared. This is the voice of the Savage Nation. It's FM Bob. I'll be here for the rest of eternity. I know I'm going to get someone calling from Roswell, New Mexico, telling me that they saw lights flashing from the sky. I know that's coming next, you know. So what else do we have in sound? Should I get serious, not serious? You want to? One woman called and said she didn't like the picture of the bathing beauties on my website. This is a picture of healthy young heterosexual women in bathing suits. Why is that offensive? MichaelSavage.com. These are normal, healthy, hetero girls from L.A. sitting around a pool with my dog Teddy's cousin, Cash. Why is that? Isn't there something healthy about healthy girls sitting around in bathing suits? Isn't it better than what you normally see? I mean, if you have a son, I would direct him to look at this. This is normal. It's healthy. He should be thinking about that for, like, later on in life when he, you know, wants to get married. Look at all these good-looking girls, none of them married with children. I don't understand what's going on in my country. Nobody wants to get married and have children. Nobody wants to get married and have children these days. That's why the Caucasian race is doomed. It's the truth. I don't know. It's the pleasure orientation. The men don't want a commitment, probably. I don't know if you blame the women. In the old days, well, there's 100 reasons for it. You could blame anybody you want. Everybody just wants to have fun, and nobody wants responsibility. So who am I to tell them to get married and have children? So let the Caucasian race disappear, and you'll see what replaces it. You'll see how wonderful it'll be. You won't be here, no one listening. You'll see how wonderful the world will become once the evil white male is gone. You'll see what a great, great planet it'll be. Sensitive, kind, you know, like perhaps in Korea where they beat dogs to death while they're alive in order to eat them. That's what you'll descend into. Las Vegas, Nevada. Dave, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, good to talk to you. Thanks. Korean food. I know you like Chinese food. You talk about it. Have you tried the Korean food? You know, it's pretty healthy.
Everything but dog.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, my father-in-law made me eat it one time, and it was I had to smile in his face, but I had to kind of pull it out of my hand and give it to the...
Let me explain again why eating a dog should be illegal in the entire world. I don't give a rat's behind about global warming. I care about Koreans and Chinese who beat dogs to death and eat them, and let me tell you why. I have a dog all my life. A dog has attenuated himself as a species to the human being over millions of years. A dog understands man, unlike almost any other animal on the planet. You know, they say dog is man's best friend. There's a reason for it. They're sensitive. They relate to man. It's a matter of how intelligent is the animal, as far as I am concerned. You don't kill a highly intelligent animal for food unless you're starving to death. So I have a real problem with hearing these cultural defenses about eating dogs. I must tell you that.
Michael, I'm in line with you, and I don't...
No, wait, Korean food is wonderful. I do like the barbecue. The meat, the way they make meat is delicious.
Kalbi and the bulgogi, you're right.
No, the meat is great, the way they cook meat. I had wonderful steak last night in a Chinese restaurant in San Francisco. My friend owns a high-scale Chinese place, Shanghai 1930. They made a steak. I rarely eat meat. I don't eat it much, obviously. I'm not into cholesterol-rich foods. But when I do, boy, this was soft. It was amazing, just amazing. Thank you for the call. I can't eat a lot of it. That's why I'm still living. I didn't eat meat for 20 years. Between the age of 30 and 50, I didn't touch meat. I was on this extreme diet. It's why I'm living. I'm living on the fumes of my health food years. Any day now I expect, any day now I expect to pay for the sins of, my diet had to alter from when I went into radio 14, 15 years ago. I violated every dietary protocol that I had developed over my whole life to survive. I did. I said, all right, here's the game. My stress level is through the ceiling being on radio. I'm drinking too much coffee. I'm eating foods I shouldn't eat. That is the price I am going to pay for being on the radio, for doing what I want to do, and for telling the truth the way I see it. And I'm surprised I've gotten this far and that I'm still kicking. I got to tell you the truth. I mean, it's amazing what abuse radio is for the human body. The stress for three people say to me, how do you do it? They don't know how I do it. A lot of guys I meet. Where do you get the energy from? What motivates you? I look at them like they're crazy. I look at them like they're nuts. What do you mean? Why do I do it? What should I be doing with my life right now? Playing golf or tennis? You know? 1-800-449-8255. No aliens. Did anyone see any spaceships flashing lights in the sky listening to the Savage Nation? Charleston, Jennifer, you're up. You're the first woman on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just thought it was so funny when you were talking like the liberal goat, and I really was hoping you would do it a little bit more.
The liberal, the voice?
So where, funny.
Oh, where they want health care, while playing the sheep?
Yeah, it was just really funny. I was hoping you'd say.
Well, isn't that? Doesn't it sound like them, the sheep? All they want: health care, global warming, and gay marriage, health care. They sound like sheep.
They do. It was very.
I'm sending you a present because you're the first woman listener today. I have three. out of the 10 million listeners, I have 300 women who listen across America. You're getting a special copy of my DVD, Freedom of Speech Award, the speech that C-SPAN banned, the speech that C-SPAN would not let you hear. And there's only 80 left of the last pressing right now up on michaelsavage.com, but you're getting one of the 80, you know. 1-800-449-8255. KNEW, San Francisco. Ted, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, I just wanted to let you know that I am on duty right now, and when you said to flash your lights, not only did I do my headlights, but I also did my flashing red and blue lights.
And you're a police officer in the SFPD?
Well, not the SFPD, but a neighboring city. I don't want to say
okay,
which one.
That's good. And you didn't get arrested by one of your fellow officers?
No, I did not. So just make sure that the shyster lawyers don't take my badge, huh?
Ted, you're great. Hey, Ted, if you can identify yourself through the switchboard, I'm going to send you a present. Stay on the line. Don't go. You know, I don't want you to do it on the air because who knows if the chief wants him to do that. But I will send him a copy of the DVD or a health book or something like that. KNEW, San Francisco, in the city of, you know, I hate to run the city down because I actually love the city, but I got to tell you something. We spend $200 million a year on the bums, and there's more bums than ever because it's a pretty intelligent. Look, if you put honey out, you're going to attract ants, right? Now, why would you spend money on homeless bums? You're only going to attract more, and you get bureau rats who make their living by catering to the bums. So what do you expect? More bums. That's not the cure. The cure is law and order. The more I think about it, the more I walk around the city, the more I think about the country and the world. The only thing that can save this country is a law and order presidency. Now, I walk around San Francisco today before the show, and I happen to love walking up to North Beach, the Italian district. I have a couple of friends in various places. They weren't in today. I looked for them. But anyway, the streets are dirtier than ever. They're filthy. Where is the money going? Why does this city not take that $200 million and hire street sweepers or make these homeless bums, these lice, these vermin, clean the streets to get a handout instead of begging them on hands and knees? Give them a broom. Tell them that they got to clean in order to get a sandwich from you. What? The city is very dirty. And everyone is poorly dressed, ill-dressed, the most ill-dressed city people in the city in the whole country. Everybody's trying to look down. It's old, you know what I mean? Walking around with that hippie look from the 60s. Grow up, get a pair of pants with a crease in them, I feel like saying. Everybody with a sweatshirt and dirty pants and filthy sneakers. It's disgusting for a city. Why don't they have some class and put on some nice clean clothing in this area? That's what I was thinking today. I came back disgusted. I did. I got disgusted walking around between the bums and between the dirt in the streets. It's like a city that doesn't even understand that it's falling apart. And I think that I would blame the city administration. There's no pride anymore in San Francisco, you know? Emily in Tennessee, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I feel that you say that if there were half-naked women on your website, you would encourage your sons to look at them. However, I certainly do not feel that if they were half-naked men, you would be encouraging daughters to be looking at them because of your feelings on morality and women in the world.
Well, now, wait a minute. You raise an interesting point. So you think I should put up pictures of young men in bathing suits on the website for the young women to look at? Or you don't think I should?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you say that you would encourage your sons to be looking at these women, correct?
Yes, now, they're normal women.
If you had a daughter, would you encourage her to be looking at half-naked men all the time?
Well, that's an interesting question. You mean, let's say I put up a picture like I did of women instead of men. 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 women with a dog, 11 guys with a dog, and they're wearing, let's say, a bathing suit. You're saying that would be immoral?
Well, I'm saying that would you encourage your daughters to be looking at these pictures?
I haven't thought about it. Would you?
I'm not saying I wouldn't discourage them, but I don't know that I would encourage
them. Well, isn't it better to encourage a child to look at a healthy member of the opposite sex in a bathing suit than it is to let them be influenced by the perverts in the libraries and in the schools?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't.
Well, there it is. There it is. I'm trying to fix what's wrong. You know, there was an attempt to stop the dissemination of pornography in libraries. Do you know the ACLU fought that? And that's where the predators and the perverts go not only to meet young children, but also to transmit messages through the internet. They use libraries and the computers. This is Ruth Bader Ginsburg at work on the Supreme Court. This is the ACLU at work. These are the deviants in our society using libraries now. So if I put up an innocent picture of nice-looking women in bathing suits on my website, what is wrong with that?
Well, my only concern was that you, because you always speak about, you know, the problem with, and most of the time I agree with you, with the morality of women and the fact that women are encouraged to be sexual objects in our
society. But they're not doing anything wrong. They're not engaging in anything illicit or immoral or lewd. They're just happy, healthy girls sitting around a pool.
But when you say you would encourage your sons to be looking at them, that would be in order to develop a sexual attraction.
Exactly right. To give him a normal orientation. That's correct. I think it would be very good for a teenage boy to look at healthy girls in a bathing suit.
You also agree that it would be good to encourage women, to encourage young women?
Probably, yes. In our sick society, where the ads are including younger and younger and younger girls in the ads, 10 and 11-year-old girls in skimpy costumes, because you know who's running the advertising industry. They're using children. It's softcore child pornography. The advertising industry is using softcore child pornography right now to sell goods. Do you know that?
Absolutely. All you have to do is walk into an Abercrombie & Fitch store and you see pictures of half-naked young boys and girls all over the store. It's terrible.
I changed the name of that store to something other than Abercrombie & Fitch, and the second word begins with a B.
Yeah.
I was walking past their store in San Francisco, and I said, that's what it really should be named, with the two guys in the window there. 1-800, that should stick. That's like Mr. Softy. That's a forever. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. You are listening to the greatest name in radio, your local station. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Old black magic has me in its spell.
Old black magic that you weave so well.
It is the end of Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. Of course, in some places in America, it's just beginning. The beauty of America is that somewhere in America, Savage is on 24 hours a day.
Down and down I go.
Energy, energy, energy. Where do these guys get this energy from? That's the thing about entertainers. It's like a soup. Okay, that's enough already. The superhuman energy of entertainers is the amazing thing to behold. And you say, well, it's all based on drugs. It isn't all based on drugs. All these guys, they were doing it on the natch, I'm sure of it. But forget about that. I mean, radio, when you think about it, is a very interesting phenomenon. Now, I began the show with this story, which is that Bush welcomes right-wing talkers to the West Wing. And that included, and I was mistaken, the golfer, the wallbanger, and other unknowns who were invited by George Bush. Now, you say, well, it's sour grapes. I don't think so. Why was Savage not invited to the Blight House by Bush and Cheney, only sycophants who support their every policy? Remember, even Republican congressmen refuse to be photographed with Bush right now. And I'm asking you, are these hosts, most of whom have very, very small audiences, are they that tone deaf to their own audience, or are they that uneducated or desperate for a photo op with the president? Who is this unpopular? Or are they such true believers that they agreed to go? I don't know. You'll have to answer that yourself. But remember, it was the Dubai ports deal. It was Harriet Meyer's nomination. It was the illegal alien amnesty bill and other events that were stopped by this audience, the Savage Nation. So I respect the president enormously. The toughest job in the world, the most difficult job on earth. And God bless him, and we need to pray for his safety and security and intelligence. There's no question about that. And this is the greatest country on earth. Yes, it's corrupt. Yes, the politicians are out of control, most of them. Yes, I've never seen a feeding frenzy on money since the war began because they're all feeding off the war, both the Democrats and Republicans. But compared with the alternative systems in this world and other countries, I wouldn't want to be anywhere but the United States of America. I got to tell you that. And so I keep praying for a more honest politician tomorrow and a better day tomorrow. And meanwhile, I salute the founding fathers because of their genius. We still don't have a dictatorship, do we? Despite what the morons on the left say, our constitutional rights were. I don't know anyone's constitutional rights were. They keep repeating the mantra every day. And yes, our constitutional rights will be restored if Hillary Clinton becomes president. I don't know anyone who lost their constitutional rights, by the way, other than illegal aliens or Al-Qaeda members. So if the Democrats want to give constitutional rights to people who want to harm us or illegal aliens who don't belong in the country, then you have to make a choice as to whether you want to vote for them, because I know that I don't, you see. So that's the story in a nutshell. Danielle, KNEW, San Francisco, go ahead, please.
Yeah, you were talking about marriage. Let me tell you, Papa Savage, it's not the women, it's the men. You know, here's how I reason it. Why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free?
Well, I was going to say it. You took the words out of my mouth. Because of the loose morality prevalent in our society, the men can have free and easy sex on a regular basis virtually anywhere they go. At least they think they can. So they figure, why get married? But see, the whole motivation is wrong. I mean, is that why you get married, just for sex? Well, it's one of the reasons. It can't be the only reason. It used to be you got married for family. The Chinese had a wonderful system in place, and I don't know if they still do. And I learned it from Lin Yutang, the popular Chinese-American author who has since passed on. And he said that in the older days in China, fathers taught their sons to pick a wife based upon the children they would like to have with her. You hear that one?
Yeah.
In other words, the whole purpose of finding a woman was the genealogy that you'd bring to your children, the next generation. And that was the best advice I have ever heard, a father give a son. But today, does a father tell a son to pick a woman based upon her genetics and what kind of child she's going to bring to the world? I don't know. It wouldn't be a bad idea to start there, would it? Well, with God's will and your listenership, you will continue to tune in to the Savage Nation, 9.1 share in Portland, Oregon, blowing the liberals out of the water despite all their belly aching. They are losing. I am winning. I'm a giant force in America. Just look, I wasn't invited to the White House. What does that tell you?
Savage.